Good morning again. I want to tell you this morning that we serve a great big God. And when I say that, I'm saying that with the understanding that we really can't imagine how great our God is, how big our God is. We think of God sometimes when we come in this place and we say we walk into the presence, but it's a nice little presence of God. I'm talking about the God that is so powerful, so all-encompassing, that He could wipe out this world with just a breath. That He could take us all away with just a blink of an eye. But a God that is so powerful and so in control of love for us. I want to talk about a prayer today, about a prophet that had an encounter with God. This prophet was in a low time of his life, had an encounter with God, and we're going to talk about what happened. We'll talk about Habakkuk. It's a book in the Bible written by a prophet who started out wrestling with God and ended up worshiping Him. He was distressed. He complained over the unchecked sin in his country in the first part of chapter 1. And he was amazed that God had already prepared an instrument to chastise Israel. Of course, that was the nation of Babylon. He was shocked and dismayed at this dilemma. His country was about to be chastised. Now, he knew that they deserved it. He knew the sin that was going on in their country, but yet he was in fear. In chapter 1, he expressed his dilemma to God. And God answered him in chapter 2 in the form of a dirge or a taunt song. Habakkuk was instructed to learn it and to write it down, make a record. He learned of God's just plan to destroy Babylon after He used Babylon to His purpose. Habakkuk bowed in humble admiration for God. And then in chapter 3, he laid out a majestic prayer and a hymn of praise. And that's where we're going to focus today, on chapter 3 of the book of Habakkuk. This prayer in chapter 3 is one of the greatest in the Bible. If you take time to listen, to look, and this was written as a song, a way of worship. So let's look at the first part. I'm going to read it to you. And sometimes I stumble over the Hebrew words, but you'll just have to bear with me by why I pronounce them slowly. Chapter 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, on Sigonoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there was power, and there His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence, and fever followed at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Now that's the God I want to talk about this morning. The one that really gets your attention. He got Habakkuk's attention. in the midst of his prayers. See, if you want what God can give, you have to pray. There's no other way. There's no other way for revival. There's no other way to get instruction or to follow God. You have to pray. No shortcuts for anyone. All God's people have to pray. And Habakkuk records a prayer, song of praise. The last statement of chapter 3 ends with, "To the chief musician, with my stringed instruments." What I just read was a song. The revelation of God to Habakkuk has changed him now. His circumstances hadn't changed in the least little bit. He was still in a land that was facing the wrath of God, a chastisement for the sins in their lives. But he had changed. He's now walking by faith instead of by sight. He's living by God's promises and not by human reasonings. You see, he saw what was happening around him and was afraid. He was down in that valley of despair, and that's all he could see was the sins of his country. And he was a prophet. He was reaching out to God. But he felt it was to no avail. And then he had a conversation with the Almighty God. Nothing had changed, but Habakkuk's outlook, Habakkuk's understanding and his love. He was concerned. And then he went to the Lord in a fuller, deeper way. He was probably still concerned about his country, but he was filled with awe and understanding of the just ways of our God. He humbly laid bare his heart to us, wrote these words down that we may learn. He had come to understand that God's ways were far beyond his understanding, but through faith and meditation, he found they were glorious to God. He now stands again simply as Habakkuk the prophet, a worker of God. The word synagogue that I struggled over, they say it's an obscure word, but they think it means to stumble or go astray. And it's mostly found in prayers. Habakkuk wasn't a passive spectator to what was going on. Just as we are today, we stand and we see the sad decline of not only this country, but the world around us. You know, we focus sometimes on the United States of America and our downturn. But if you look outside our borders at the world in a whole, it's the same. There's a great spiraling downward in our morals. In verse 2, he says, "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." You see, God instructed Habakkuk on his purposes to discipline Judah. And when that was done, to destroy Babylon, the instrument that he was going to use. Habakkuk was full of fear, apprehension, just as we are today. As we look out the world around us, we can't help but wonder, when will God bring his retribution? Habakkuk replied in a fear or a reverence to the sovereignty of God. He was disturbed, uneasy. So he placed his prayer before God with two petitions, and only two. He prayed for a fresh manifestation of God's power. He wanted a revival of deeds, that those who went before him saw. And he asked for a full measure of pardon. Can we ask for pardon when we know we're facing a just punishment? Habakkuk did. He requested both. First, his request for a revival of God's working in the world and in individual lives. That sounds like, to me, he's asking for what we call revival. Asking God to reach down, stir us up one more time. You see, revival always begins with God. Nothing that we can do inside this room or inside our homes will cause a revival. We have to look away from ourselves and up to God. God is beginning. He wanted anew the impact of God's working in the nation of Israel. He's looking back to the time of Exodus, where the axe by his powerful hands, the fire, the many miracles that he performed on their trip to the promised land. See, when Habakkuk prayed, he was also praying that his faith would increase. Do you think that's a fair statement for us today? As I read over this and thought about it, I think it's exactly right. If we want revival in our heart, what are we truly saying? We want our faith increased. God hasn't moved. He's right where he was. Our faith has slipped that he can change anything. Habakkuk was asking for a stirring of our hearts. You've heard Pastor Paul say before about drawing a chalk circle around you and ask for revival to begin inside that circle. Well, as I was studying this, that came up again, and that came from an evangelist in England called Gipsy Smith. He was asked one day how to start a revival. And he said, go home and lock yourself in your house, stoop down, draw a chalk mark around you and pray. He says, when revival starts inside the circle, then you'll have a chance for revival outside that circle. What he's saying is it has to begin in each one of us. So we talk about going back to basics. We talked this morning in our meeting about a basics class. So here's the basics on how to have a revival. Acknowledge your need. We all have a need. Confess your sins to the Lord. And I'm talking to you, Christians, not just those that don't know Christ. Unless, of course, you don't have any sin in your life, then we'll go back to number one again. Spend time daily in God's Word, listening to God. Do you know reading His Bible is listening to God? That's what it is. Talk to your Heavenly Father in prayer. How would it be if you never talked to your children or you never talked to your wife? How would your relationship be? You never know what the other one wants you to do. Be no communication at all. You got to talk to God. You got to be in communication. Determined to say no to every temptation in the world, the flesh and the devil. I didn't say, don't do every temptation in the world. I said, be determined to say no. Because you see, you can't do it with your own power, but God can. So if you're determined to say no, God will give you the power to turn away from it. Then say yes to God. The Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you is more powerful than Satan. And if you want to check my facts, look at 1 John 4:4. It's important to remember that the Holy Spirit is inside of us right now. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's here. Now just think back a few seconds. Whatever the thoughts were that went through your mind, God knows them because he's there. Whatever you were thinking when you got up this morning, God's a part of that. Whatever you did Saturday night, God's a part of that. You see, we can't sit back and wait for a great movement of God in this church or this country or in this world. We've got to look inside of us and be content that the great move of God starts inside of our bodies. That's how changes are made. Just think of the fire that we would get going if every person here today had that spark. That's how you kindle another spark. They have to see it. It's not by listening. It's by how you live your life. Now let's get back to our prophet. His second request evolved right out of the first. God was going to judge Israel because of the presence of sin. And this discipline was going to be unpleasant. It was going to be a difficult experience. And the prophet realized that Judah needed to be disciplined. He also realized that God's chastisement works out for not only his good, but our good. His intercession was that God's heart of love would reveal itself in mercy. He never asked to escape the chastisement that was to come, just that God would be mercy. He asked him to remember. You see, God's wrath is inevitable for any one of us that break the covenant we made with him when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you think in this world today that when you sin, God doesn't notice? We just went back to that. We talked about how the Holy Spirit is with us. Sin is sin. God tells us what sin is. As we go through our lives sinning, we're building up what I believe is a chastisement to come. Our country is sliding so far away from the things that it was founded on. This world is sliding so far away from God that at some point in time, there will be the chastisement. Bring it in a little closer. The sin in our lives. Do you sometimes go through chastisement? I know I do. I step out of line and sometimes I cause things to happen that I know was a direct result of my sin, and I know the hand of God is on it. It's not just some random act, but it's God nudging me back to the center where I need to be. See, Habakkuk, he had to get down on his knees and cry out to God and have a little one-on-one conversation, which is what chapter 1 was. He was discouraged, but he took time to pray and to seek God's mercy for his life. So if you're like Habakkuk and you're discouraged about the condition of this church, your life, the state of the world, take time to pray and seek God's mercy. Find out what's going on. Charles Spurgeon said, whether we like it or not, asking is the rule of the kingdom. And if I understand what he's saying, he's telling us we need to ask God. We need to pray to God and ask before we make any of these big decisions or even the small decisions. God, what is it that you've planned for my life? And if I do this or buy that, will it fall in line with that plan? And that's exactly how it should be. We have freedoms to do things, but I believe our freedoms end when they veer from the path that God's laid out for us. You've been called for a specific purpose. You've been given gifts. You've been given knowledge. You've been called to serve Him. And He has a plan for your life. Chapter 2, Habakkuk's question and answer become more like a detailed instruction as God laid out His plans. Bring Habakkuk up to speed, as it were, with what he was going to do. Habakkuk kneeled in reverence. Chapter 3 say, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Habakkuk sees God coming down like He did for His people from Mount Sinai. He came down to liberate His people. Teman was a desert oasis in southern Palestine. Although this might have represented the entire region as Habakkuk prayed. Mount Paran is also in southern Palestine. And it was in this area that God first formed Israel. It was where He was teaching them the lessons as He took them towards the promised land. This is where He performed His miracles, where they followed the pillar of fire, where He fed them. They could see His glory coming down before their very eyes, and they understand who God was and what He did. And that's what Habakkuk was asking for right now. God, perform miracles again. Refocus us on You. God's acts were like a mighty warrior going before His people. Now, can we call for that today? I don't know. The Word of God doesn't support it. He tells us He's coming back. Why would we expect God's hand to come down again as a pillar of fire? You see, we've got something they didn't have. We've got God living inside of us. I don't believe we need a pillar of fire or manna being handed to us to understand who God is. We have the Word to read. We need to make a little effort. But someday He's going to be displayed in this world again, because God is coming back. There's no doubt about that, unless you call the Bible a liar. And are you going to be ready? Verse 4, His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden. All creation, everything around us reflects God's power and His majesty. Look at the sun. If we move the least little bit closer, this planet will burn up. How is it that we can be so balanced in an orbit that we never veer? Is that random? Is that part of the Big Bang theory? I don't think so. I think there's a hand of God in His perfection. He has perfected everything. Look at the butterflies. Something so light flies around. Look at the bumblebees. By our human understanding, there's no way they could fly. They're not built right. And yet they do. The perfection in nature. The shape of a honeycomb, birth, the path of the weather. Yeah, we have hurricanes, we have tornadoes. You attribute them to God or just some random blowing of the wind? Decide that on your own, but I know where I stand. We're being chastised. But the perfection of this world is attributed to a powerful, mighty God. He just hides His power from us. There's no way we could understand it. No way we could deal with that knowledge. Verse 5. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. God is fully capable of exercising his cleansing power at any moment. Habakkuk saw as God moved across the land that plagues preceded him and pestilence followed. Literally bolts of fire coming from his hands. That's a divine measure of judgment. Are we going to face that someday? Just like the 10 plagues of Egypt. Revelation 6 says we will. Maybe not us, but this world will. And God can manifest his powers by simply standing still. Listen to verse 6. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. Habakkuk's vision of God's coming and marching across the land reached a climax. God stood still. His very presence caused the earth to shake, caused earthquakes and volcanoes. See if I can pull us into something that we would understand. Moms, school teachers, you know that look when you stop and you don't say a word, but the kids know they went too far. They retreat just from your gaze. I believe that's what God did. He just stopped and he waited. The mountains trembled and literally fell. The hills bowed down because of his majesty, his authority over this world. And Habakkuk acknowledged that God is coming back in power and his strength. There'll be no ignoring him when he comes back. I'd hate to think I'm going to be here during the time of Revelation. But I can stand right here and tell you I'm not going to be, because the Bible says I'm not. You see, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm not perfect. I stumble around on this world and I make mistakes. But that great, big, powerful God forgives me, nudges me back to where I should be, and says, let's move forward. Here's my vision for your life. Now let's get refocused. And you know what? If I stumble again, my God's going to be right there again for me. Am I going to stumble on purpose? No, I hope not. But sometimes I think like a child, and I am a child when it comes to the majesty of God. Everything in this world is frail and temporary before God. And we need to remember that our existence on this world is temporary. God has promised us much more. Verse 7, I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. As I read about this, they said that would be the first to be affected as God come marching across this land. This was Habakkuk's vision of God coming from one boundary and moving to the other, and these would have been the first. And this was a nomadic people. They traveled like maybe they could stay ahead of the wrath of God, but we know they can't. The land that they knew was going to be affected. These are people under duress, distress, because of a coming God. And how do we look at our land today? Are we really any different than what Habakkuk saw? There's a coming judgment for this world. The Bible speaks of it. Those that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will be gone. They'll be called up. They will not have to face the plagues of the rapture. So what about your loved ones? We've got no guarantee past the moment that we're here right now. God can call us home. He can call us up, says in the twinkling of an eye, and we're gone. What about your loved ones that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Habakkuk cried out for his people. He was in the valley of despair, and he had a conversation with God. Now he's standing on the mountaintop. As I said before, the world hadn't changed. He had. He grew closer to God. He had a greater understanding. And that's available to every one of you here today. Whatever you're facing in your life, however small or however big, speak to God, and He'll lift you up. The problems may still be there, but you'll understand that He will get you through them. He'll help you understand how to reach out to those that you're worried about, those that could be left behind. And again, I say, we can't know anyone's heart, but we can know God's heart, and we can know what He wants us to do. He spoke to Habakkuk, and He will speak to us in the same way. He'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit as you read His Word. You'll be enlightened. You'll be guided as God's very voice. I hope we can learn something from the lessons of Habakkuk. We're going to go into a time of prayer, and I invite you to come and to pray and seek revival. And that's what it's going to take. That first conversation with God. Can we all stand, please? Heavenly Father, I stand humbled before Your word. The lesson of Habakkuk, Father, where You took a man that was full of despair, and You lifted him up with Your words. You caused him to rejoice. You caused him to grow closer to You. Not rejoicing for the coming judgment, but rejoicing in Your righteousness and in Your power and in Your justness. And Father, I just pray here this morning that our hearts would be open, that You would speak to us, Father. That You would speak to us about the areas in our lives that need Your discipline. Help us to be overcomers, Father, as we rise above the circumstances of this world. And we rejoice in knowing You, that we too rejoice in knowing that You are in control. And that You will pour Your mercy out upon us. And that You have prepared a way. You are ready to receive us, Father. You are ready to have that conversation as we bow down. And Father, I just come to You in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We just have music this morning.